All right, what up, y'all? So Scotty D from FagoLovers.net. I've got on the phone with me Otis, Young Wicked, of the Killjoy Club, / AMB, / solo artist. What up, Young Wicked?
What up, Scotty D? Fago Lovers Heaven in the motherfucking house.
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely,
I'm
man.
Geek to be here.
Hell yeah, that's what's up. I think our last interview was with you and Bones in like 2010, man, so it's been a minute.
Yeah, man, we've been at this for quite a while now in this Juggalo scene. You
no
know
doubt.
What I mean? You've been there the whole time.
Absolutely. So, hey, man, I got a bunch of questions that I came up with and that even more that were submitted. So so let's get started.
All right, cool. I'm ready.
All right, cool. So we know that Violent J gave you the name Young Wicked. Do you think that it's more of a fitting name for you, and will you continue to use it for like your solo projects as well as AMB? Or are you going to stick with Otis or use them interchangeably?
Yeah, it started out just like as a nickname one day in the studio, and I started saying it in AMB records, and then just got real comfortable with it and decided I would keep that as my solo name. You know, it was like, and just in a dream, it felt right, you know, that should be my solo moniker, and I saw it all, you know, in my head. So I rolled with it. So yeah, I'm going to keep it, like, you know, regardless of how much I age, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be Young Wicked forever.
Hell yeah.
Just because out of the crew that I came up with, you know, and the crew that I've been kicking it with is Psychopathic forever, I was always the youngest, and it's just something that I like, that I think sounds pretty fresh, and it's a good way to describe what I do, you know what I'm saying? I do that Young Wicked shit.
And was that like a spur-of-the-moment name that Jay came up with, or was it something he stewed on for a while?
I'm pretty sure he just said it one day,
you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I loved it, you know? That guy, you know, he's, you know, since I've been working with them, him and Two Dope are like, you know, heroes and big brothers to me. They always have been, you know. So I really hang on their fucking every word, so to speak. You know what
no
I'm
doubt.
Saying? If there's anybody you want to listen to, it's the people that you idolize and like base your career and shit. You know, like they're, you know, some people want to be fucking wrestlers, so they fucking look up to Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So so when he said it, I caught it, and I kept that shit. I was like, yeah, I'm keeping that shit. You know what
Hell
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what's up. So you've really started to shine, or with your chopper style. What made you want to like pursue that style, and how do you continue to better yourself as an artist?
Well, it's kind of the thing nowadays, but. So it's like, you know, not to be trendy or just following trends, but it's just another way to prove myself that, you know, okay, so everybody loves this rapper or that rapper. Well, I could do what they do just as well, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of my motive for chopping nowadays, is to just make sure that people know that, that I'm putting my bid down, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
But we've been doing it forever. Like, way back in the day, people used to give us the old Bone Thugs and Harmony treatment, and they would say that we sounded like Bone, and that was when we would rap a little bit fast and do our singing type shit or whatever, and then Choppers became like way more popular, and it wasn't just Bone who was doing it anymore, and people didn't really associate us with that anymore, so I saw it, and I saw it like fitting to just step in and fucking take that and make it my bitch, you know what I mean? And I feel like I can chop with the best of them. I feel like to chop with people like Tech or somebody like that, I would definitely have to step up a few notches. You know what I mean? I'm not by any means cocky, but I'm definitely confident in my chop game.
Yeah, you've stepped up your game for sure, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But who knows? You know, chopping is kind of, you know, Shaggy Tudo told me, best, you know, like don't overdo it with the chopping, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't want to make a whole, you don't want to oversaturate it with that, because A, that's not me entirely, and B, you know, people got enough of that anyway, so I tried to break it up a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta have some variety for sure.
Yeah, but I chopped the shit out of some shit.
Oh, yeah. So, have you started working with Bones Dub on his solo album yet?
No.
Okay.
But he's gonna be here in Denver on Thursday. looking, and he's looking to record some stuff.
Oh, nice. So are you going to be producing it?
I don't know.
Okay.
If he wants me to, I got mad beats, but I don't know what his plan is. He always be hitting me left field with his plan, and next thing you know, he's in Denver kicking it, So he got him and a couple homies hooked up on a flight, and he's coming out to record some shit of his own. So I mean, I don't want to be like the guy to jump in there and be like, take my beats and let me, fucking man the helm on your shit too.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I already do that enough of everything.
Sure.
So it's like fucking, it's up to him. But I hope so, man. I got beats for him all day. And I feel like I'd probably produce it better than anybody else because I know that motherfucker.
Well, naturally, yeah. All right, so do you have any plans of finding and grooming new artists for Psychopathic or even Canonize?
It's always been something I've been interested in for sure. There's a lot of really, really good talent out there. We got our homies. I think Jay Dirty's really dope, but it's so original. I don't know, what I could do with it other than just keep giving him beats, you know what I'm saying? But, and I don't know how far he wants to go with it either. He lives his life at the same time as doing these records, so he's like a superhero to me, but still. But there's people like that, and then there's people our boys Mindshot, they're dope. But really all I ever really have time to do for anybody is give them beats, you know what I'm saying? And even that is getting tied up now that I'm producing mainly for ICP, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So if I am going to start doing that sort of thing, it would only be under their direction. If they were we want to start signing people again and they wanted to trust somebody with finding that talent or grooming it, I would definitely step up to the plate and handle that up, whatever the squad needs, because I know the talent's out there just bubbling under the surface,
Right.
There's that dude, Playboy the Beast.
Fuck, man. I keep talking about that dude. Yeah, and I know you guys is trying to work on a collaboration here pretty quick, right?
Yeah, he hit me up and I told him I'm down, so we'll see what happens.
Damn.
I don't know when I'm going to be able to do it, but he's ready and available, so we're gonna hook it up. Just because he's dope, man.
Fuck yeah.
Motherfuckers are definitely sleeping on that ninja.
I keep pushing him for the gathering, but he always has some personal shit come up, so hopefully next year, maybe.
That's the other fresh thing about the dude. It's like, if he doesn't want to do the thing, he's like, fuck that, I'm not going to do it.
No, that's he was definitely down to do it, but he had some shit come up, so,
It's like, it's dope, He prioritizes well. That's the mark of an adult, and that's rare in the rap game. That's a weird thing to say coming from a guy named Young Wicked. but yeah, man, it's just motherfuckers like that are dope. That's who you want, is people who are clear and concise about their vision. I wasn't when I first started, and that's why it took me so much time and so much experience to really get a tight hold on what my personal vision for myself is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if I weak find somebody like that, that'd be the shit. But that's totally up to Psychopathic, I think.
Gotcha.
I mean? If they want that shit, I'll fucking definitely assist wherever I can do so. You know what I mean?
So tell us how ICP approached you for doing production on the Marvelous Missing Link.
It started out, we went out, I'm real close with Violent J and Shaggy forever since we first started working with them. Off and on the label, whatever, we've just been real close. We always talk, you know what I'm saying? So, we hooked up with that tour and, decided to do Garcia Brothers. I'm trying to remember it in my head right now. I just got done smoking some of that Colorado, so I'm trying to piece that shit together. But no, Garcia Brothers is really what kind of opened the door. They knew that I could produce and engineer an entire record by myself because they saw me do it with Garcia Brothers in 32 days or something. We did that whole record.
Shit, wow.
And just me and Bones in the studio, you know what I'm saying? So they liked that, and they needed an extra guy. I think Joe Strange was out. He like took off or whatever, didn't work there anymore, whatever. And I'm just like trying to say that the most PC way. Like, I don't know what happened with that dude.
Sure.
But he didn't work there anymore, so they needed another engineer. And my boy Kuma, my brother for life, put my name in the hat. And I originally went out there to work for work on ABK's album, Shapeshifter, which is coming out soon. And I did that. I engineered a whole bunch of tracks on that, and I produced like 7 of them. I think he only ended up using 5 of the songs that we did together. But that's what was the start, and I think that was like a trial run to see if I could do it. And then from there, Violent J asked me to come in the studio with him one day. You know what I mean? It was just as simple as that. It went from one day being in there with Killa to Violent J coming in and being like, hey, do a session with me the next day. And we went in and we did a song called The Monster, which everybody will hear on the Outtakes record.
Okay.
And that's the first song I produced for ICP, and it's fucking terrifying.
Nice.
It's like, it scares me, dog. I don't know how other people feel about it, but I was there when they made it, and there's just certain moments when during the song where it's like really fucking scary shit. So
is this the same monster they talked about in the book?
No, totally different.
Totally different. Okay,
fresh ass story though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just fucking crazy. I won't give any of it away. I'll just let people peep it because that shit's about to come out.
Right.
But yeah, that was the first one we did, and we just did song after song from there. And during that time, Killjoy Club, that came about. You know, we had already began working on ICP before Killjoy Club happened, and they needed a 6th man for the Killjoy Club, and that was me. Thank God.
Yeah. So that just kind of came about organically. You just hey,
right,
we got
place,
this
right time, you know. I mean, they trusted my skills, and Violent J's got my back, you know. Tudo's got my back, so they were there for me. They wanted to hook me up, but at the same time, the space was open. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was lucky, and they fucking knew that I could school it, or at least they believed enough in me to give me that opportunity. And fucking thank God, I rose to the occasion.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good weed helped that happen.
I was definitely going to ask you more about Killjoy later on, but you didn't have too many collabs on the new Slaughter album. You had no. ABK, Bones Dub, and Jelly Roll, right?
Yeah.
Who would be your top, I don't know, 3 or 5 dream collabs, and are any of them in the works right now?
Well, yeah, my favorite people to make songs with is ICP, honestly. Mm-hmm. As like cliche as that sounds, because we make a lot of tracks together still to this day. You know, like I'll be in the studio making them songs on Missing Link with them, so doing that is like my favorite thing to do. But because of timing and because of my timing, honestly, we weren't able to do a track together for my album, which is like my biggest regret for the Slaughter album, is not having them actually rapping on it.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that. Yeah.
So that's in the works, you know. Obviously it's always going down with me and them, but so that's number one priority for me, which is just weird to say, but still, that's still what I get the most geeked about. But beyond that, there's are we talking like dream collabs or like things that might be in the realm of possibility?
Both. I know you've talked about Ritz for a long time, and you gave a shout out to Hobson, and I think you've mentioned Snow before. So
all 3 of them would be dope.
Yeah.
Fucking. So those ones seem like they might be in the realm of possibility.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm in the underground. Those cats are kind of at the top of the underground. You know, Ritz and Hobson are really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So Snow's really doing it. They're all super dope, so I would love to collab with any of them. Tech N9ne is a big one.
Sure.
I would super love to do a song with Tech N9ne because I feel like I could hang with him. You know, the same way he felt about Eminem and how he just kept striving for that Eminem feature, it's like, I feel like one day I could get my Tech N9ne feature on and probably, you know, box with the God, you know what I'm saying? That's rapper talk, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
That's East Coast rapper talk for possibly being able to hang with him. But I feel like I can, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Tech, that's not at all shade at all. I feel like musically we make something beautiful together, you know what I'm saying? And I make tracks with the other fucking, you know, Don Megas of the Underground. So I feel like I'm a little bit proven. You know, I feel like I got a foot in the door. So if Tech's listening or peeping, you know, definitely holler at your boy. Tech N9ne would definitely, because I feel like the Underground would explode off that. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
They'd be like, you know, there'd be no doubt in Young Wicked after that. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Is there another Young Wicked mixtape in the works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone thought the Young Wicked mixtape was going to come out,
Before Slaughter, right?
Let me jump back. Okay. I have to say this just for my own personal feelings. Dream Collaboration, Eddie Vedder.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dream Collaboration.
You and Jay all both, right?
Yeah. Back on the topic. All right. Fuck, what was that question again?
Young Wicked mixtape.
Yeah, the mixtape. I told everybody that it was going to come before the record, but I just didn't get finished. I decided to, you know, put all my drive and focus towards writing the best full album. And I was also bouncing back and forth between whether or not I should make it over Stolen Beats or original beats, because everyone wants hard copies of Young Wicked Volume 1, the mixtape Volume 1, and I can't press that shit because it's stolen mm-hmm. beats, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I know all them cats, but it ain't like the Riders, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a twisted beat and a rich beat mm-hmm. and shit, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I can't just go selling their shit. So it took me a while to come to the decision of what I wanted to do. But I'm going to make the mixtape, and it's already, you know, in the works. It's about halfway there, I would say. But it's going to be all original beats, but it's still going to be for free. So I'm going to put the whole thing out for free on the internet, and it's still going to be in the fashion of a mixtape with all the cool drops and long-ass verses and not too many, you know, it's not going to be too centered around songs as much as it is just shit-talking-ass mixtape rap flex, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because when I think of mixtape, I think just somebody trying to prove they're like the fucking dopest rapper. Like, it's like a battle on fucking record, you know what I mean?
So
what? For me.
No doubt.
So that's what I'm going to do. But it's going to be original beats, so that not only does it come out for free on YouTube and Dabpiff and all that, but you could also go to youngwicked.com and buy that bitch if you want to own that motherfucker. In a hard copy.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you have any kind of timeline?
Timeline for that? Fucking, no. No timeline.
Okay.
I don't want to commit myself to nothing, for sure. You know what I mean? In regards to that. But it's going to be a lot sooner than later, that's for sure.
Okay.
And, right. I'm going to do a Halloween, single also. So there's that to look forward to also.
Nice. Will it come out with like the just online for free, or is it going to be like bundled with the Hella Wicked single?
I'm not sure yet. I got to talk to them, and we got to figure out whether or not it's going to go on their disc or not. You know, sometimes every year it differs whether or not ICP want to put somebody else on their disc or to keep it just ICP. You know what I mean? So if the fucking carnival calls, so shall it be.
So, do you know anything about the Hella Wicked single? Did you produce it or anything?
No.
Okay.
I have not heard it or given them a beat for it.
Okay.
But that's not to say that it's not fucking in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I didn't know how quickly they put that all together. So.
Yeah, it's only September. Right. I haven't heard, you know, if it's done or not. I've been out in Colorado since the gathering with my family. Before that, I was just Detroit
mm-hmm.
for months. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But I get back. I'm going back in a couple weeks, and I'll find out the fucking scoop.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Slaughter. For that album, were you given any kind of direction for it, or were you given, like, complete creative freedom?
No, it was complete freedom. They really trust me with that music, man. And that's my, you know, a lot of people don't trust me with, like, a car, like driving their car to the store. But people know that I can make some good music now, and that I know my way around the studio. So they let me do my thing. Honestly, it was a little too lonely at some points, you know, because what it was is I was, you know, living at Violent J's crib in the woods. And there's a studio out there, state-of-the-art fucking studio. We made a lot of the Killjoy Club record mm-hmm. there, too. And fucking, it was just me, you know? Chop had came back to Denver, so he wasn't in Detroit. A lot of times, I'm out there with Chop, you know what I'm saying? But it was just solo, you know? I didn't have my family out there, nothing. And during the day, I would work with ICP on their shit at the office at the Lotus Pod. So it was like, sweet, there's people. Mm-hmm. But then at night, it'd be complete solitude. And then when we finished Missing Link, when we rapped on it or whatever, it was like I went super solitude. Now, granted, I could have asked anybody at any point to come sit in on my session, but I just don't operate like that, I guess. And the end result, I'm really happy with. But it was a weird creative process. It's like you got to picture that artist type ninja, you know, who's working on one painting for like weeks, and he's all fucking hunched over and creepy. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Boxes of food everywhere and shit. You know, it's like fuck, man. I go a little bit crazy so I can get into that creative zone of just mashing out tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know what I mean?
So how many... Well, you said that the Garcia brothers took you something like 32 days to record. How long did it take for the Young Wicked album?
Well, with Garcia brothers, we had a limited, you know, stay because we both had different family obligations and you know, all sorts of shit going on in Detroit. So we couldn't really... We, like, literally only had, like, a month and a half or so to do this thing. And we finished, like, early, luckily. But with Young Wicked, I had all the time in the world. And so I've been working on it for fucking, you know, probably since it's a little before we announced it, you know. So as soon as I knew I was, like, in the Killjoy Club, you know what I'm saying, I was, like, trying to start thinking about my record, you know what I mean? And let's see, how long did it take me to actually record the thing? Man, I don't know how honest I should be about this one, because I don't want it to dilute the fucking effects of the record.
No, I don't think it would.
You know, I wrote and rehearsed those songs for probably, you know, since 2014 I was writing songs. The first one I wrote, or the first one I recorded was that Young Wicked Games, that YWG fucking cover
Chris
song.
Isaac, man. What the, I was going to ask you about that later on.
Yeah. I was the first one I did. And I sat on that only. I only had that one done for about a year. And then after that, I started piecing together more tracks. And then I recorded the bulk of it in about fucking, you know, 15 days.
Oh, wow.
Of, like,
okay.
Hardcore bulk recording. And then I spent a lot of time mixing and adding extra stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But after I got all that shit wrote and I rehearsed, you know, I never used to do that with A&B. With Axe Murder Boys, we would walk in the studio with no beat, make the beat, write the song, record the song, mix the song, leave, be done, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounds kind of similar to what they describe with Lotus and Killjoy Club, right? Because you guys kind of worked together and then put it down right then and there.
Yeah, totally. With this shit, I wrote and rehearsed the shit for a long time beforehand, you know what I mean? You know, it was usually one song at a time, but like that Scathing song, I wrote that song while I was watching Jurassic Park on the bootleg, you know what I'm saying? Like fucking And that one happened super quick, and I recorded it that night. That was a one-dayer, whereas, like, that grandma song was, like, existed for, like, a month or two, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it was just, like, you know, completely spontaneous, but completely natural. Whatever the song called for is okay. what I did, you know what I mean?
Well, before you started Slaughter, did you already know that you were going to produce the entire thing from scratch, or were you thinking of using beats from other producers?
I really wanted some beats from Seven because I heard everything he had done for ICP and Tech and everybody leading up to this point. You know, I heard beats he's done that nobody's heard in the studio, you know, prepping for ICP records or whatever. And I was just, like, taken back by these beats. You know what I'm saying? Like, that guy is crazy.
He's incredible.
You know what I'm saying? And then, so I really wanted some Seven beats. And then Kuma is also a wizard. You know what I'm saying? People don't really realize how much music and good times we owe to Kuma. You know what I'm saying? How much he's created for us in this Juggalo thing, you know?
Yeah, Kuma's my boy, man. He's a good dude.
And he did a beat with Seven that he said I could have. And I recorded a chorus to it. That chorus was whack, though. So we'll probably have to redo that. But yeah, man, that's who I really would want to work with if I trusted any producers at all. It would be probably first and foremost Kuma, and then Seven.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you got pretty personal on this whole record. You did the track "Drinking on My Fifth." About your issues with alcohol. What was it that made you finally cut ties with it?
With alcohol?
Yeah.
Fucking sickness, fucking money loss, fucking the near loss of my life, the near loss of my family, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, just all the cliche shit. But, like, what it is, I got a lot of alcoholics in my family, you know what I'm saying? A lot of musicians and a lot of alcoholics, and I got just as deep in that shit, and my body literally couldn't handle it no more. So, you know, I was going to the hospital all the time. We didn't have a record deal at the time. Shit was all fucked up, you know what I'm saying? And I got an ultimatum from my pops who I was living with. He was like, get in the rehab or fucking find somewhere else to live, you know? And my pops is like the nicest guy in the world. So to hear him like put his foot down was real eye opening, you know what I mean? So I went to rehab and it was great. You know, I did the work. I got sober and I fucking gained mad weight. They feed you like 3 times a day, bomb ass meals.
Uh-huh.
It's a place called Harmony. I don't know if I'm fucking up.
No, anonymity, I've heard of it.
Anonymity or whatever. Nah. Anonymity. but that place is the shit, so I want them to have their props, you know. If nothing else, for the food and the scenery. but yeah, man, I got sober. I got a taste of sobriety from that. And then I got out of that and started slowly earning my respect back from people. But then I had a few relapses, a few, you know, 3 or 4 day binge drinking episodes, which a lot of alcoholics will tell you they go through, you know. And the last one was in St. Louis on an A&B tour. It was June 19th, 2014.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that was the very last day. I mean, I woke up that day hungover. So that was the last day that any alcohol was in my body. And
well, damn, congrats.
Or maybe I went to sleep.
That's like a year and a half, over a year, man, so congrats on that.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm super proud of it. Now I feel like I deserve my fucking gold coin that I got from rehab because I fucking made it. And it really is. It's just alcohol. You got to steer clear of alcohol, like me personally. I fucking smoke pot all day, you know. It helps my stomach. It helps my anxiety. So I'm by no means an angel of sobriety. But I found out what my demon was, and I cut that shit out completely. And I know I'll never go back, you know what I'm saying? Because that last one was so ruthless, such a ruthless, like $800 later, I'm sick, You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. For like fucking 8 days afterwards in the hospital and shit. You know, them real alcoholics out there will tell you, dog, it fucking destroys your insides. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't want to go through anything like that. So, but right. Props to you, man, for that, for real.
Right, I Motley Crued it out, and I'm good now, you know right. What I'm saying? I still got a wild side, but I feel like I'm focused now. I'm, like, honed in, like, you know what I mean? Like, ever since I got clean, all this shit that you see about Young Wicked, you know, including Kill Drug Club and everything, has happened, you know? Mm-hmm. None of it came about before. You know, I mean, I was smoking cigarettes on the fucking Mighty Def Pop tour, and that was the last time I got an ultimatum about my habits. You know what I'm saying? And I was told that I could either quit smoking or fuck off forever. You know?
Damn.
So I quit smoking and quit drinking, and my life's been fucking great ever since. At least. Completely improved, you know. I highly recommend it to everybody out there. You don't have to drink to be fresh.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, so what's your favorite track off the new album?
Off of my record?
Yeah.
Probably the second half of Gone.
Uh-huh.
The grandma song.
Yep.
Where it gets all sinister. I listen to that and I'm just like, where the fuck did that come from? Mm-hmm. I listen to that and I don't recognize myself. And that's the shit I really like. You know, I can't tell that it's, like, me doing it when I feel like, oh, that sounds like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know.
So you had a really, really close relationship with her. Was she always super supportive of you and Bones in music?
Yeah, she didn't really bump it. She had all of them, but she wouldn't really open them because we forewarned her about the cussing.
Uh-huh.
But my whole family, man, my whole family is really supportive. And, you know, the whole Garcia tribe have always held us up and told us to keep going. And my grandmother, actually, she went to a couple of our shows back in the day at this place called the Gothic Theater, back in the, like, way back in the day. And so, yeah, she had a lot of love for us, and I always wanted to make a track for her. I was just too late with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I feel like it was appropriate, and I got that shit off my chest. And that second half taps into something completely extra, like this whole worldly element about death and who we are, mm-hmm. as humanity, and like whether or not we even have souls, and all this turmoil I was going through thinking about her death, you know?
Yeah.
Thinking about like her being dead fucked me up that much. So that's why I love that second half so much. I'd probably give it to that.
Oh, yeah.
But I love a lot of it, you know? That's just off the top of my head, really.
Do you have a favorite A and B track to date?
No. I'm just fucking with you. That's just to fuck with Bones. No, my favorite A&B track would probably be that reggae song we did.
Oh, yeah?
The last A&B record.
Right.
No, I think it's called, yeah, Nobody Get Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, such a different song for us and so much fun making it, you know? We were just laughing the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Because it was so dope. We were just like, what is this shit we're making?
Yeah, such a departure.
Is it rap? Is it reggae? Yeah. Is it juggalos? Like, what the fuck is going on? And that felt cool. And then Big Hoodoo came in and did all that extra fucking Caribbean shit on there. He was like, in the background, he's like, Pondy Flame! And just screaming all this dope shit. You know, he knew he had it. He put the fucking cherry on top of that shit. So that's like, that's my favorite. Probably,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To date. Or whatever.
All right. So you have, there's a sample for the track All Night that I was curious about. Was that, this sounds stupid if it's not, but was that from Doogie Howser?
Oh, shit. I don't know. That's fresh. No, that's so fresh, people picking apart the samples, because, you know, I never know what people are going to figure out or not. But, I don't know about that one. That vocal sample, I just
found. No, it wasn't even a vocal sample. It's the main beat, that beeping noise. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember.
No,
that's just a keyboard or something.
Yeah, it's like it's a loop of some other track slowed way down.
Okay.
So you're talking about the very first thing you hear, right?
Yeah, yeah. Listen to that and go listen to the Doogie Howser theme song. I swear to God, that's what I thought about.
That's dope. I gotta peep it now. And possibly make a beat out of that.
Right. I thought you might be a little too young for that, because I was a kid whenever Doogie Howser came out, so I figured.
I peeped me plenty of Doogie. You know, it was back in the day with MASH, it was like Simpsons, MASH, some Doogie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When MASH was on, though, you knew it was time to fuck off. Like, go to sleep, you know, it was like, fuck, yep. MASH.
All right. So on the track "Dope," which is definitely one of my favorites on the album, you brought in Jelly Roll for a collab.
Yeah.
How did that whole thing work out?
Man, it was more so Jelly Roll brought in Jelly Roll for the collab because he's such a genuine dude, man, and he wants people to succeed. You know what I'm saying? He's so real with it. Like, I know that guy's going to fucking succeed and be huge because of how much he pays it forward and how much he wants others to succeed. Because I'm a lazy ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like a habitual issue I got.
I don't know, man. You don't show it. Look at all the shit you got going on. So.
Right. It takes a lot to be in the rap game, you know what I'm saying, in any capacity and have an impact. You know, you got to keep at it. And he kept me at it on the tour. We were on what was it? Not Shock Therapy. Fucking
Shock Fest.
Shock Fest. Yeah. There we go. And we were on Shock Fest together, and him and Chop were really close, you know. And he came on the bus. We've been talking about it back and forth. You know, when rappers kick it, they usually are always like, we should work together. And the other guy's like, yeah, totally. And then they never fucking hit each other up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jelly Roll is not that dude, man. He made sure it went down. He came on the bus. He was like, you want to do it now? And, you know, I'm too awkward to be like, oh, I'd rather just watch a movie and fucking eat some ramen. You know, so if he wants to do it, I'm going to be like, yeah, let's do it. You know, so I got out my shit and we recorded it right there on the bus.
Oh, nice.
I already had one of my verses done in the hook. So I played in the hook and the verse along with a bunch of other beats that didn't have nothing on it. And he chose to do the one with the hook and the verse on it. And he fucking wrote that shit right there on the spot. With the quickness too, like the guy's a super pro, you know what I'm saying? And he murdered the song, man. And he did it fucking on the hookup on the love, you know. I don't know if I'm exposing shit I shouldn't be or whatever.
Oh, whatever, man. He's a super genuine dude.
Yeah, he had my back, and so I got his back for life.
Hell yeah.
And fucking you know, just like Big B and Dirtball back in the day on God's Hand, you know, we sent them a song for God's Hand, and they just. You know, we sent it to Big B, and he fucking got Dirtball to be on it just on the love as a surprise, you know. We love that shit, you know. Because I don't have much politics skills in the rap game, dog. You know, so it's like, I just do the music, you know. I'm more of a musician than I am a rapper, in my opinion. In the sense of, like, some rappers are real good at politicking. They're real good at fucking Instagram and fucking Twitter and shit, and you know, staying connected with all the other rappers and being cool and shit, you know. And Juggalos just ain't cut from that cloth, in my opinion, or at least me personally, from my experience. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's tough to have five different social media things that are constantly updated.
Right.
So.
Right. I'm managing and all that, but like, you never really catch us. Like when you see a picture of us and like Ritz. We're like really geeks, you know. We're like, holy shit, you know, these motherfuckers know who we are. We're taking pictures with these cats, you know. Whereas other cats, it seems like they're all in this like invisible fucking club that I can't break through. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm doing with this slaughter. It's like, give me my proper. At the very least, I want people to know who we are. Like Tech approached us before and acknowledged us, and it felt great, you know. Fucking followed us on Twitter. It's just like, you know, he did that from his cell phone. Like, this guy knows who we are. Dope. That's what I strive for, like, goal-wise in the rap game, is to just earn the respect of my peers, you know? That's why I value my relationship with ICP so much, because they fucking stuck with us, and they saw something in us when no one did, and now the world's starting to see it a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it's like, so that's what it's all about for me, fucking earning that respect, you know what I mean?
I hear that.
You know, or just getting into their weird fucking club, you know. I can't say that, though. People be like,
Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Yep.
That's so fresh, though. Like, put me on YouTube with that shit. People don't understand. I'm on YouTube, man, peeping out. I know all the conspiracy theories, so it'd be, like, entertaining as fuck for someone to lump me in with that shit.
All right. All right.
My bad.
No. So I know Slaughter just dropped. In the album cover, we got the release, the name of the next AMB release, Muerte. Can you tell us anything about what we can expect from it? Will it sound like an extension of the Garcia brothers?
No. We decided we wanted, Garcia brothers was really, it was like, for years people were asking AMB, who are you guys? Like, what is AMB? Who is AMB? And that's what we attempted to do, was like pull from our childhood experiences, create songs out of that. Like, you know, like the original cover was going to be us standing in front of this house that was on fire, and the whole thing was about like burning down our disruptive, you know, childhood past or whatever. So like, we're totally left fielding it from that on this next record. On this next record, we're trying to just make, you know, Muerte is Spanish for death,
mm-hmm.
and which is rather simple. We just like the way it looks, we like the way it sounds, and we like the imagery that we're preparing behind it. You know, people are going to be really, like, tripped out by the way we look when we end up doing it. And the whole plan is to just go a lot darker with it, you know. Axe Murder Boys has always been in the horrorcore or the wicked genre, you know, but we've always played the fence. You know, we got a reggae song on our last record, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas on this next one, and, you know, there's not a single song recorded for this thing, mind you. So this is all just in the pre-viz talks, but between me and Bones, as we talked about it, and when we came up with the name and the image that we decided to put out, we just want to go dark, you know? We want to give them a full-on Axe Murder Boys experience. You know, whatever we thought we were when we first started this group, but we didn't have the technical skills to pull it off.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do with the Muerte. And we'll probably pull from our personal lives, too, because some of the best darkness, usually all the best darkness, comes from true shit that happened to you. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
So that's what people can expect. It's not going to be drab or anything, but it is going to be vicious as fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's what the goal is. You know.
So you guys just recently released God's Hand and like a majority of your merch on reptheaxe.com. Will most of your new merch pop up on there now instead of on Hatchet Gear? Like, are you just going to use Hatchet Gear for your new releases?
No, Hatchet Gear. Like, for Young Wicked, I'm planning on doing some Hatchet Gear exclusive stuff, and then doing some stuff that is only sold on tour. Like, you're probably not going to see any Young Wicked merch until the October 3rd, until the first day of the ICP tour.
Okay.
And then the floodgate's going to be open. But with my merch, you know, you can go to reptheaxe.com for all your Axe Murder Boys stuff. And we're also going to start putting out our old CDs through reptheaxe too.
Okay. And that was like my next question. Yep.
Yeah, ancient shit. Shit that I don't like to listen to, but apparently motherfuckers would like to collect. You know what I'm saying? They finally convinced me to be down to put it out. So we're going to put out like a bunch of that stuff. So you'll see plenty of stuff there. But for Young Wicked, you know, when I was younger, Hatchet Gear was like this sacred fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? And like, I bought a Twisted jersey for like fucking $300 once. It was a red, white, and blue Freak Show jersey.
Uh huh. I had that jersey.
It was at the second ever gathering, and this ninja got me for $3.
$300? What the hell?
Yeah. It was back in the day, man. And I was a youngin'. This second gathering ever, I was 15 years old.
Uh huh.
So I wanted that fucking jersey, but anyway.
Bad, apparently.
Yeah, Doug. That was my whole fucking trip right there, was that jersey, Doug. Motherfucker was starving after that. So, like, back in the day, it was all about, like, three different colors and superb stitching and, you know what I mean, all this flavor. So that's what I'm going to do with my merch with Young Wicked. Every single thing has to be, like, super approved, you know what I mean? And so far, all we've got is two designs done by this kid, Sean Mike, I think his last name is Mike Ellis.
Okay.
But I like to, I like to say Michaels, because it's like Shawn Michaels, Michael is,
right.
I don't know,
right.
Whatever. It's just like Shawn Michaels. So Shawn Michaels did my artwork, and, everything, like, that's what it is with the art, with the merch for me, is it's, everything has to be perfect, you know what I'm saying? And so, if it comes out on Hatchet Gear, it'll be like a jersey or a real high-end item, you know? If it's a t-shirt or something, it'll probably be seen on tour or maybe through my own web store, maybe through Rep the X. You know, I don't know where it's going to be available online yet as far as, like, t-shirts and, like, the smaller items.
Okay.
But I want to put out some exclusive jerseys and some, like, some more,
high-end
you
stuff.
Know, harder to make shit with, yeah. with Hatchet Gear and Psychopathic. But, you know, anyone can get t-shirts made, you know what I mean? So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to take it upon myself to find the right person to make them, you know, get the right design. And then every single t-shirt is also going to have a special tag on it that you can only get if you buy a Young Wicked product.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Yeah.
So it's like...
Similar to what they did with the Juggalo Day stuff last year.
Yeah. Yeah, that attention to detail and care that people will appreciate and that will create repeat customers, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody taking home a Young Wicked product and being disappointed. You know, we're like fucking, you know, I wish I could attach a return policy to fucking songs. You know what I mean? But thank God I can't, because that would be a fucking upsetting day, you know, to open them emails. But that's the sentiment I share with the consumer, you feel me? Because I am the consumer. I am the juggalo, you know? So it's like, I want motherfuckers, I say it on my record, I'm like, half the reason people are rapping these days is just to sell merch.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, man, you gotta put the right amount of attention and heart into each thing. If it ain't you, you know, then it's just, you know, fucking a stamp on a frisbee. Fuck a frisbee. I don't play frisbee. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about a frisbee dollar to me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Unless a ninja wants a Young Wicked frisbee, I don't know.
So you're like, yeah, I'll vinyl that shit up real quick.
Right. Somebody out there, some juggalo's like, what the fuck this asshole got against frisbee, dog?
Frisbee golf all day. All right, I know you kind of mentioned how you recorded the Garcia Brothers album, on the super quick tip. So, do you think you'll do the next record like that, or will it be more drawn out?
No. As I grow older, I'm starting to pre-plan things. Like my show tape, like I'll let you in on a secret. I might have told this in other interviews, but like every A&B show tape in the history of A&B. Has been done the night before the event that we had to do.
Oh, damn.
Since our inception. It started that way by accident, and it stuck for some reason. And it's like, what the fuck kind of a tradition is that? You know what I mean? It kept us on our toes, and we got good, you know? But it's like, you know, like, so not for, so okay, a whole tour, we'd have one show tape. So that first day was nerve-wracking as fuck, but then we would learn the tape and get used to it, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But like, this last year's gathering, I got that show tape done a week in advance. I even got it sent off to Bones ahead of time, and he heard it in advance. That was the first time in our whole career that's ever happened, you know? So with the next record, and as I grow older, everything becomes more calculated and pre-planned, because in your youth, you feel like you know everything right away. You feel like this is the right answer. Everything's more kind of on the fly, you know what I mean? And, you know, as you get older, you refine your craft, I guess. You know what I'm saying? And, that's what I'm doing. That's the fucking, route I'm taking. You know what I mean?
Do you have any, like, feelers out for collabs on this next album?
For A&B?
Yeah.
Like who we could possibly get?
Yeah. Have you reached out to anybody?
We're hoping, we haven't reached out to nobody.
Okay.
But we're gonna reach out to Rich. And Caskey has always said he was down. We think that would be fresh.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a million people I want to collab with in life, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know if it'll ever happen. But, you know, Bones does somehow is like a huge fucking T-Pain fan. I mean, we both are. T-Pain is super skilled, you know? We look past the mainstream thing mm-hmm. and look into, like, what he does technically, and we're really impressed by it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, in Dreamland, there's a million motherfuckers, but in the real world, we want to try to get people that we think would complement our style and appease our fucking fan base, so people like Ritz.
No doubt.
You know, Twisted would be fresh. Fucking, you know, we always are going to keep working with ICP. You know, anytime we can do a song with ICP is like a fucking privilege for us, you know. Being Young Ninjas, you know, dog.
Oh, I know.
Because you've been there with us the whole fucking time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Since back when we were all waiting in them 12-hour lines. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Well, some people had to do that again this year, so.
Right. And I appreciate them ninjas.
Yeah,
know?
No doubt. All right, so speaking of which, how was your gathering this year?
It was wonderful. Every year gets better for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Every year gets better for me.
Any highlights?
Earlier years. Before my early years before I was in the game or whatever, that was better. Because I was just, like, enthralled by Juggaloism mm-hmm. everywhere. It was like, you know, at that Toledo gathering, they had the museum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could walk
with all the artwork and everything.
Yeah. And it was like, all that stuff's tucked away at the office, you know? It's not like that stuff's chilling. Like, I don't get to see that stuff every day still, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was like, sweet-ass memories like that. And, like, smartphones weren't a thing. So, like, we had like, disposable cameras full of printed pictures, you know? That was my best gathering.
No doubt.
Second year, fourth, fifth year, Crystal Forest. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. Garrettsville for life.
But, yeah, there you go. But Jump Steady does such an amazing job at the gathering nowadays. And me being playing the position that I have now, you know, it's a completely different thing. But it was great. You know, it's nothing but love. You know what I'm saying? It's all love. And, it's really relaxed. I used to have an issue with the gathering with, like, nerves, because it's, like, for us, our biggest concert, like the Grammys or whatever. I remember when I was, this is a fresh story, when I was, it was during the Bad Mental Health tour, during the Blood In, Blood Out era, mm-hmm. and I had, like, natty braids and, like, doubly preteen fucking facial hair. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And we showed up to the gathering off that tour, like from the gathering to that tour, and somebody, I won't say who it was, just for an anonymity purposes or whatever, but whatever, it don't matter. But somebody who I truly value the opinion of seen my haggard looking ass and was like, I seen you came fresh for the gathering, and then turned around and bounced. And that was all we said to each other the whole 4 days or whatever. And I vowed that year to never come back looking stale or feeling stale. And every year I try to achieve a higher level of cleanliness and comfort and like crispiness that I did the last year. And it's hard, you know, especially in them years, you know, like, don't think A&B didn't pay their dues. Like, there was years where they were like, have a golf cart. We were like, shit in our pants driving around this golf cart. And then we'd go 2 or 3 years where we were walking around, mudding it with the rest of the ninjas. No, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like the mud gathering, that was a distinct gathering that we did not have a cart at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those were the years where I would watch Joe and Joey or Paul and Jamie fly past us, you know, on their way to their event, and it would burn in my heart thinking, man, I had to keep working to get out this mud, you know what I'm saying? Get me on a cart, you know, even if my cart is stuck, you know what I'm saying? Nah, but, them carts ain't all it's cracked up to be. Really, it's like the grass is always greener type thing, you know? when you're walking around the gathering, you want to be riding. When you're riding, you want to enjoy the experience of walking. You know what I mean?
Well, and, I'll take your cart next year if you want to just go ahead and walk everywhere.
It's all give and take, you know what I'm saying? But this year's experience was great, and it was the highlight of my professional career because I performed with ICP during their set.
I was going to say, ask you about that. How was it? What was it like for you to come out and perform during ICP set?
It was the shit, man. It was like I said, the highlight of my career to date, the freshest thing I've done in my career to this point, and the largest, the biggest audience I've ever had. Fuck, man, I'm having like a moment here thinking about it.
Getting the tingles.
Like, fuck, goddamn, that was everyone. That was the whole gathering. Everyone, you know, except for the weaklings that couldn't hang on till ICP.
Yeah, come on now. Fuck
you
that.
Know. But, you know, those weirdos in the white t-shirts with the fucking 12 pack of beer and the fucking cut off jean shorts. Like, who are you? Nah. But I'm just hating on somebody. But nah. There's somebody out there like, that's me, bro. Fuck you. But nah, it was great. It was the coolest thing ever coming out with them. The only little kink was I was too nervous and I was paying attention. I was rapping Joe's lyrics in my head, you know. And, you know, I'm like singing the last part of his verse. And if you watch on YouTube, you'll see me come out like half a bar shy of my mark, really.
You're probably the only one that noticed that, though.
Yeah. And I'm sure they noticed. I'm sure.
Oh, well, sure. I'm but, sure I mean, nobody in the audience probably noticed that.
Right. And it almost makes the tape hard for me to watch because we're perfectionists over there. Mm-hmm. It might look like a melee, but it's a calculated chaos. You feel me? But yeah, that was my shiniest moment in life, professionally and probably personally, besides the birth of my kids, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It was like Young Ninja's dream realized right there. Fuck, man, that's cool to think about.
Were you disappointed with your early time, main stage time of the gathering this year? Because I know a lot of ninjas couldn't make it over there for, you know, conflicting schedules and shit, so.
Yeah, I'm disappointed for anyone who is a A&B fan and didn't get to see it, but I'm never one to take for granted a main stage slot at the gathering.
Yeah, no doubt.
Being an underground rapper, the fact that we get put on the main stage with all those other cats and Jump Steady is not willy-nilly about his selecting, you know what I mean, as far as who he picks for every stage, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Down to the most underground artist, to the, you know, to from the Tech Nines to the T-Rides, you know. Shout out to T-Ride. He's
T-Ride's
a really dope
shit, yeah, he's hometown over here. Oh, so.
Yeah, he's from your, yeah, I forgot he's from your hood.
Mm-hmm.
We toured with him, he's awesome. But, so yeah, I never take for granted a main stage slot, and it's a fucking blessing every time. But I hope that with work and with time, we get further into that nighttime slot, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Because I feel like I could hang with Tech and Twisted if I put together, you know, with some work. You know, my records are definitely climbing in caliber in my opinion, you know, just to fucking offer my own opinion on my own shit, whatever. But my records are climbing in caliber, but the live show is where the aim is now, you know. It's time to make the live show as hype as it was when we started as teams, you know. We used to shock people with our show, you know. It's time to do that again. So that's the fucking goal in that realm. Get better. We always want a better slot, but any slot is the shit.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? It's like saying, you know, it's like the Grammys, you know.
So I got some quick miscellaneous questions for you.
Cool.
Have you been talked to about being on the next Riders album?
We've spoke like in passing about that with various members of that group ever since we were like teenagers.
Uh-huh.
So that's about as green light as it is red light. You feel me?
Yeah. Okay.
Completely in the wind. But if they asked us, I would be so fucking honored and I'd be so geeked and I would try so fucking hard to do it justice because, you know, I was a Juggalo since a little before the Riders came out, you know. Mm-hmm. Dumping came out
in 99.
After I was down, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like fucking, we were already down and Dumping dropped. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to fuck that up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know that Jay mentioned that that was going to be a release for next year's gathering. So yeah. Maybe start throwing your hat in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely gotta, you know, sneak on that bitch. I will sneak right. my way onto that bitch if I got to. You know.
Do you have any names that you would for your alter ego that you'd like to use?
I don't have a name. They have names that they came up with, you know. Too Dope has mad different flavorful names, but I can't remember any of them off the top of my dome. Because last time we talked about it was like Bang Ka Boom Tour.
Okay.
You know?
Damn.
But, yeah. But I do remember a sweet ass idea we had where it was the homie in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's always that homie from the hood in the wheelchair with rags all over his wheelchair and shit. And, you know, Bones would, like, push me out on stage. You know what I'm saying? He would push me out. He'd be, like, my wheelie around ninja. And, you know, we'd be rapping together. Like, our verses would be split. So, like, I would drop my mic, and he'd be rapping above my head, like, I don't know, that shit. But we never knew how serious it was. But if a writer's album needs to be made, I'll be there to serve as far as beats go, hooks, fucking, I mean, they probably steal the beats, obviously, I guess, so whatever there, but if they fucking got a slot, you know, I'll jump in there, because what gang doesn't need more members, you feel me?
Absolutely, yeah, they've been riding with the six or seven crew members for a while now, so time to add on.
Straight up.
All right, so you've been doing the music thing full-time for, I guess, well over a decade now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So have you had to ever work a regular 9-to-5?
Yes.
So what was your shittiest job?
Well, oh, man. People are going to be like, this bust their ass motherfucker. But I've only had to work a couple jobs. I did the Taste of Philly, which was selling Philly cheesesteaks, and I was terrible at it. It's such a fast-paced thing, and I'm just like, you know, I couldn't wrap a fucking sandwich to save my life, you know what I'm saying? So that sucked, and I held that job for 2 months because my boy, Curtis, was the manager. And then finally he was like, I can't fucking let you work here anymore. So that was that. And then the worst job I probably ever had was 16, and I was a telemarketer. That shit lasted for like a week.
Oh, shit.
And they laid us off after like a week because they weren't even like a legit company. And like it was some sort of scheme or whatever, scam or whatever. They got a bunch of fucking teenagers to make a bunch of calls for them for a week. They sold a certain X amount of things and then they didn't pay nobody shit and took off. You know what I'm saying? So that sucked. But I was working with friends, and it was my first job experience. You know, I felt like I was getting up in the morning and shit. So that was cool. But honestly, I've been doing music for money as long as I can remember. I think the first time I got paid to do a show, I was like 9 or 10.
God damn.
And it was doing weddings, in a cover band with my pops. And, yeah, we'd do cover songs and perform at weddings. And it was like classic rock and fucking, you know, some Ozzy, some heavier stuff like some Black Sabbath and Ozzy and fucking, you know, a couple cool songs, like maybe one Rage Machine song or something.
Wow, and, like, so this is really in your blood, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's just music my whole life. My dad's been a musician his whole life, so is my mother. But I used to watch my dad, you know, rehearse with his band. And I was learning the song because they, you know, in a band rehearsal, they play the same shit all day long, you know. So I learned the songs, and when they would cut out, you know, when they would fuck up and stop playing, I would overlap. He'd hear me singing, and that's how I got into it. You know,
okay.
He was like, why don't you sing the song? And Bones Dub, he jumped on the drum kit. He used to be the drummer. I don't know how many people noticed it, but Bones was the drummer. My dad played bass. Our oldest brother, Ryan, played guitar, and I sang. And we fucking worked professionally as a fucking cover band in a wedding band for a few years.
Damn, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, that was before Juggalo.
Uh-huh.
And then Bones Dub discovered ICP, and it fucking, when we were done with cover bands forever after that.
No more wedding singers.
No, we performed chicken hunting at a relative's wedding. No.
Hell yeah.
When we were, I was probably 13, and Bones must have been 15.
That's and, awesome.
Yeah, they had a mic. My dad had set up the gig or whatever and played with a different group of guys, and we were there just chilling. And that was the only way he could get us to perform, is if we were allowed to sing the ICP song. It was dope.
Nice. All right. So in recent years, it seems like the tide with Juggalos has really turned as far as their perception of you and Bones. What do you credit that to?
Probably just hard work and stick-to-itiveness the respect. You know, we have a lot of respect for the Juggalos, and I don't know if they realized that at first, but we went out there and we just toured for years and kept telling our story, and we got real prideful at times, and then we would humble ourselves at other times. It was just like a growing journey this whole time together, kind of, We've always had our supporters, but there's definitely a large amount of people that have, like, turned the corner as far as, or turned a new leaf as far as, like, the fucking, pure disdain for us, to where it's like, now they can sit through an A&B set, or at least they'll see us riding around the golf cart or whatever, and they're like, yeah, there goes those guys, see them every year, OG type shit, what I'm saying? Like, we've been around forever, so we're just part of this family. There's no fucking way around it. And luckily, we're not a hated part of this family, because we're not out making the family look like assholes. Mm-hmm. We're not getting drunk at the family parties anymore and fucking up and all that shit. In metaphor world, what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like our music has increased, our professionalism has increased. I've calmed my shit a lot, as far as when I was younger, I was like quick to snap on somebody and quick to go for the bottle, and I matured, so I think that has a lot to do with it. The music got better because we got better as people, and naturally other people responded positively to that. Kevin Gill will tell you,
it's PMA all about all day. Positivity. Yep.
Yeah, straight up.
Yep.
So that's what it is. We just attributed all the positivity, man. That's what it is. Staying at it,
So I got a canonized question for you.
Cool.
When will the long-anticipated Kamikaze album be dropping?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I don't even know if people really knew about that. I know we kind of talked about it, but I don't know how widespread that goes. I don't even know who's in the group.
I've got it says you, Bones, Mindshot, Prey and Decay.
Yeah. That's pretty much what was settled on last.
But uh-huh.
DK and Bones have all sorts of new plans. I don't know what Paul's or what Prey's doing, but he's got his own plans. You know what I'm saying? So I know that if I was like, let's do this, and tried to like center everybody, that we could do it. But right now I gotta fucking get out there and tour this slaughter. So we'll see what's up afterwards. But yeah, I have no definite on that one.
Are you gonna be doing a solo tour for Slaughter?
I want to, but it's not. It's all about elevation. I don't want to end up in the bars in front of the 30 kids just out of necessity to tour. That's not a good look for anybody involved. You know what I'm saying? That sort of intimacy is dope if you choose to do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like habitual and like no way to escape playing the saloon for fucking 60 ninjas or whatever. Now, like, that sounds kind of fucking pompous or whatever. So don't get me wrong. Like, I value every single ass in the seat, but I just want it to be a bigger spectacle. Like, you can't see a shitty ICP show because it's fucking in this huge space with this big spectacle. You know how many people are going to be there, you know what I mean? And it's going to be raw because you know it's going to be big and dope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to do. And if my touring can't accommodate that, then I don't want to do it because I don't want to go out there and give people a bar show. You know what I'm saying? They get enough fucking rappers, you know, they got enough shows where it's like, come out and watch fucking 8 different acts with no show, just walk back and forth rapping at you. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't do that. I got to step it up somehow. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. For what it's worth, I've seen you open for, you know, for ICP, and I've seen you doing your A and B solo tip. So, and you know, you put it down either way. So
fuck yeah. Thanks, yeah, brother.
Absolutely, man.
I'm real, real nervous about this next tour coming up, but it's first time doing a whole set by myself, but we'll see if I can step it up a notch.
And hell
we'll
yeah.
see if I can put my money where my mouth is with all that shit I just talked.
Oh yeah,
you know?
That's what's up. All right, so we're just about to wrap up, but I want to ask you, so you fulfilled some of your biggest goals by working with ICP, dropping your first major solo. Where do you go from here? Like, what are your future goals?
I want to be the fucking number one independent rapper in the world. I'll put it out there
big,
like that.
Big shoes to fill, man.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of time to approach that goal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's already people in that position. You know, I feel like there's more than one. But there's also, you know, numbers-wise, it's, you know, there's statistically a number one, and that's where I want to be one day. But, that's a lofty goal or whatever, but who you know, what better goal to have? You gotta aim high, you know what I'm saying? When I was fucking 13, I didn't think that I would ever fucking even get to talk to ICP, let alone produce a Joker's card, you mm-hmm. feel me? So and I'm sure that when Tech N9ne was a young cat, you know, I mean, a lot of people will tell you that they knew it, they always knew it would happen in their heart, you know? And it's like both for me. I know it, but I also know how daunting of a task it is. So it's really, it's just a matter of putting one foot in front of the other and going for it. You know what I'm saying? But that's the goal, man. Number one independent rapper in the world. That's the long goal. If you want short-term goal, it'd be, push Slaughter to as many people as I can and put together a successful solo tour.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Right on.
I got my humble goals too. My humble goals too, but yeah, I want that number one spot just as bad as the next cat.
Oh yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, with all due respect.
No doubt.
I'm coming.
All right, man. Well, so that's all the questions I've got for you. Before we wrap up, do you want to say anything to your fans and any haters that might be listening?
Yeah, man. I want to say to the Psychopathic Street Team, a huge thank you to all those ninjas. They did a great fucking job and are still doing a great job pushing my shit. I fucking can't, explain how much that is appreciated. And I want to say to everybody who purchased the album and bumped it, thank you so fucking much for giving me a shot. And, like, I'm reading everybody's reviews. Anything, you know, most everything people say, I catch wind of it, and it's, like, so positive. It's just got me on fucking cloud nine, you know what I mean? So to the fans, to the Juggalos, to everybody who's given me half a chance, I just want to say thank you and get ready for some more dope shit because I'm definitely coming with some more dope shit. You know what I'm saying? And then fucking Scotty, Fago Lovers, you guys are the shit. You've been holding it down for us for years, and I can't thank you enough. You know what I'm saying?
You got it, man.
It's like, it's the fucking bomb.
Got nothing but love for you guys.
I got to get me a new Fago Lovers t-shirt sometime soon.
Maybe hell yeah.
We can work out a tray.
I'll hook it up on the next tour.
For a Fago Lovers TV.
Hey, I'll be out on the tour, and I'll be at Hella Wicked, so we'll work something out.
That's what's up. And if you ninjas don't know what it's really about, is Fago Lovers is what it's really about. Number one OG original gangsters right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Much love to all the Juggalos, but FLH, you know what I'm saying, is that OG. I still be getting on your shit every single day.
Hell yeah.
Like, a fucking Juggalo every day. I'm on that. You know, when there ain't no news, I read the old news. You know what I'm saying? I'm on that bitch.
Well, thanks for the love, man. Go post in the forums every once in a while.
Oh, that's just, I got in there. I was like, Young Wicked questions needed. And I was like, I should probably steer clear of that. I was like, I don't want to spoil it. And I don't want to see any shady questions that might put me to stay on the way. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
how are you going to be Young Wicked when you're fucking 34?
Like, right. We'll save that for another interview. Hey, I'm 34. What the fuck, bro?
I'll let people speculate how old I am, but it's not 30 yet.
Well, you said you were 15 at the second gathering, so you do the math.
Fuck. I can't even do math, so I hope I got that right. 15 and 16.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll wrap it up here. So, Young Wicked, a.k.a. Otis, we appreciate the time. And for Figure Lovers, this is Scotty D with Young Wicked, and we're out.
Woo, woo. Much love, ninjas.